It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're going to begin with a Bible question. Now, we have been studying about Jesus meeting the woman at Jacob's well, and I think our last question was, what did they call that well? And it was Jacob's well. When the woman left Christ and went back into the village, the disciples came, and they didn't understand why Jesus was no longer hungry, but he had been teaching that woman, and there were people coming to hear him from that village, and Jesus said to look on the fields. He said, don't think that it's 4 months unto the harvest, but rather to talk about how it was already time to begin evangelizing. He said, look on the fields because they're ready to harvest. Now, in doing that, he called those fields a certain color. What color did he mention when he named those fields? They're already this color, showing that they were ready to harvest. Well, we'll answer that in just a moment. You may want to take your Bible if you don't know the answer. It's in John chapter 4 and verse 35. And I'll read that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, let's get to our question. It's found in John chapter 4 and verse 35. Jesus says this, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white already unto harvest. Well, the answer there is white. Now, someone might cause make an exception here. They say, well, white's not a color, and in truth, that's right. White is the opposite of a color, or the absence of color. But by saying white unto harvest, that was the answer I was looking for. So if you said white, you can give yourself an A today for class in the Warren County Radio Bible School and congratulate yourself on your Bible knowledge. The fields, white unto harvest. Let me read what E.A. Elam said about those fields. In January 24th, 1926, that's the Sunday school, the date for the Sunday school lesson that he wrote here. And in Elam's notes, we read this. There's a crying need today of the plain, simple, all-powerful, soul-saving gospel of Christ, and of men to preach it in all the world. Hence, there is a great need of faithful and true and righteous and godly laborers who are satisfied with the wages Jesus here mentions. God's way of obtaining such laborers is to pray him for them. Note that the harvest is his, and he must send into it such laborers as he desires. Jesus declares that the laborer is worthy of his hire, and therefore this is true. But God's way of obtaining more laborers is not to increase the carnal pay. Some men will do anything for money, even preach. But comparatively few men will preach the gospel of Christ fully and truly for the love of souls and the glory of God, or for the wages which Christ pays. God, then, really sends laborers into his harvest, and all he sends are the right kind. All who preach are not God sent. Note, some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife and of faction, Philippians 1:15-17. Some preach their own wisdom and theories and speculation, seeking their own glory, John 7 and verse 18. He only seeks God's glory who seeks and does and preaches only the will of God, all of it, but no more, and for the wages which he pays. Some preach themselves, their own exploits, families, experience, and wisdom and ways, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Paul says in his day many were corrupting the word of God, and the margin says, making merchandise of it, while he preached Christ in sincerity, and as of God in God's sight, 2 Corinthians 2:17. Some with vain words make merchandise of the churches, 2 Peter 2 and verse 3, pretending to seek the good of the churches. They seek their own profit. This is hypocrisy. Hence Paul says, with feigned words. Some walk in craftiness and handle the word of God deceitfully. But Paul commended himself to every man's conscience in the sight of God, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light, and his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works, 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15. With at least seven classes of teachers and preachers prompted by wrong motives and striving to accomplish unholy purposes, we must feel the force of the necessity of praying God to send the only one true and faithful class into his harvest. There have been many false, missionary, self-seeking teachers and preachers since Cain and Abel, and there will be to the end of time. The church of God should have sufficient knowledge of the Bible, sufficiently clear and conscientious convictions, and sufficiently strong courage to distinguish always between the false and true, and to turn away from the former. Verses 36 through 38 state the true cooperation of the sowers and the reapers. Both rejoice together. Let me read that. That's John chapter 4, verses 36 through 38. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. For therein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereupon ye have not labored, others have labored, and ye are entered into their labor. While God has ordained that true preachers of the gospel should be supported, the wages or fruit reaped is life eternal for them and all that they help to save. Who will work for those wages? Now with that, this Sunday school lesson comes to a close. And on the page opposite this one, is a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote, or the notes he wrote for that lesson, for the Sunday schools of January the 31st, 1926. And it's about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Let's read the text. John 6, verses 1 through 14. And after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they beheld the signs which he did on them that were sick. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a great multitude cometh unto him, saith unto Philip, Whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 shillings worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, likewise also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the broken pieces which remain, that nothing be lost. So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves which remained over unto them that had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he did, they said, This is of a truth, the prophet that cometh into the world. The golden text for this lesson is John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The devotional reading is the 34th Psalm, verses 3 through 11. O magnify Jehovah with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Jehovah, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. This poor man cried, and Jehovah heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of Jehovah encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that Jehovah is good. Blessed is the man that taketh refuge in him. O fear Jehovah, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Jehovah shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of Jehovah. Now this place, this miracle, took place near Bethsaida. Now that word, Bethsaida, the name of that village, means house of fish. And so it was just simply a fishing village there by the Sea of Galilee. There seems to have been two cities called by this name. One on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee near Capernaum and Chorazin, and the city of Andrew and Peter and Philip, and the other on the northeastern shore is stated under place near which Jesus fed the 5,000. Now here's helps and hints for the teacher. First, it says learn all the facts. You know, that's always good to go through a story and just look at what are the facts that are stated here. And so we go through this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and note the facts. Feeding the 4,000 occurred later than feeding the 5,000. You know, there were two events that are similar. One when Jesus fed 5,000, another in which he fed 4,000. Between chapter 5 and chapter 6, John passes over about a year of Jesus' history. This miracle is the only one recorded by all four of the evangelists, that is, by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Feeding the 4,000 later on is recorded by Matthew and Mark only. Many other miracles were recorded by at least three of these writers, but this one was recorded by all four. As has been stated, John wrote after the other three, and passes over much they had recorded, and records much they had left unwritten. It must be remembered that when more than one record of the same miracle, one may record a fact which the others omit. In such cases, we can obtain all the facts only by putting all together what they all record. This is true with references to every Bible subject. We must put together all the Bible says on every subject before we can know all that God teaches on it. That is one of the fundamental principles of understanding the Bible. On any subject, take everything the Bible says about that subject and then reason correctly about it, and you have the whole truth from God.